Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Brian Jundeff. I am guest hosting today for Chuck and Julie. It's my honor to be guest hosting for them today. My understanding is they are in Atlanta. I'm hoping they are registering to vote in the upcoming senatorial runoff elections. Andrew Yang, failed presidential candidate on the Democrat side, announced that he's going to be moving to Georgia so he can register and vote. So hopefully Chuck and Julie will as well. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the election. I'm sure there's a lot to say, and I welcome if people have any questions or comments. Just a few news items I came across preparing for the show. Not really election related, but interesting nonetheless. A UK health study found 26,000 extra non-COVID deaths at home amid lockdowns. That's something that is really not surprising. We talk about COVID deaths. We don't talk about deaths due to the lockdown. How much care is deferred? How many people don't go to the hospital, don't go to the doctor because they're afraid of catching COVID? And I have a feeling when the dust settles on all of this, and the numbers are analyzed, there are going to be far more people that died of non-COVID causes as opposed to COVID due to deferred care. Think of all the cancer screenings, biopsies, stress tests, things of that sort that are being put off, neglected, and people are not getting the care they need. Another item of interest, Jim Jordan expects the Durham report on Spygate, quote, real soon. Well, we've been hearing real soon now for a year, 2 years. There's rumors that Durham's not going to give any report or any indictments because of a potential presidential transition. I think that's fake news. I think there will be something coming out soon. I certainly hope so. We've been waiting long enough, and it would be really disappointing if this turns out to be a nothing burger. Interestingly, no offense to Congressman Jordan, a U.S. attorney doesn't give reports. He indicts or he doesn't indict, depending on the evidence. Reports are for special counsels, committees, that sort of thing. So I don't know that we're going to see a report per se, hopefully indictments, but all to be determined. Last thing news-wise, this was interesting. I saw heart doctors more likely to implant devices from manufacturers that pay them, according to a new study. Well, I think heart doctors are behaving like members of Congress. You pay them enough, they'll pass legislation on your behalf. But heart doctors, in fairness to them, they may be consultants, paid speakers for the company, and they're going to be more familiar with that product, obviously, and probably use it more. So I don't know if it's cause and effect, but it certainly doesn't reflect well on the health profession of which I'm a member of. I'm a practicing physician, a retina surgeon here in Denver, part of a large group, and politics is my kind of hobby and escape from the world of medicine, which is why I'm here today. I was working earlier, so this is not my day job. So let's talk a little bit about the elections and election night. A lot happened on election night and then stopped happening. Battleground states stopped counting votes around midnight, specifically Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. When they stopped, I'm assuming they did a quick tabulation. How many votes did they need? And what was delivered through the night up until, say, 4 a.m., just enough votes to put Joe Biden over the lead. Before that, Trump was winning by comfortable margins. And any other election cycle, especially if it wasn't Trump or if it was a Democrat, they would have called the election. But they didn't. They stopped counting votes. And that was at the same time that Fox called Arizona for Joe Biden. And then all of a sudden, all the counting stopped. Almost orchestrated. You wonder if there was a memo sent out to news organizations, who sent the memo, or did they just, is this groupthink, where they're all part of a common brain and they all think exactly the same? So how did they calculate these votes? There's rumors of a couple of interesting software programs I'll talk a little bit about called Hammer and Scorecard. In February 2009, the Obama administration commandeered a powerful supercomputer known as the Hammer, and that has a special feature called the Scorecard, which is used specifically for hacking into elections and stealing votes. The Hammer was developed by a CIA contractor named Dennis Montgomery. He designed and built the Hammer. And it was a way initially used to spy on terrorists and people that meant harm to the country. But in February 2009, it was commandeered by those in power. And if you think back to February 2009, who just assumed office and who was running his CIA and Office of National Intelligence, et cetera, and they commandeered the Hammer. Scorecard was deployed by the Obama team against Florida election computers to perhaps steal the 2012 election on behalf of Obama and Biden, and was probably used against Bernie Sanders as well. If you recall, Bernie was the odds-on favorite to win the nomination this year. Joe Biden finished fourth or fifth in Iowa, New Hampshire. All of a sudden, John Lewis endorsed Joe Biden, and he's the winner now, and he swept Super Tuesday. Remember, Barack Obama endorsed Hillary Clinton, and that didn't help her. Every media organization endorsed Hillary Clinton 4 years ago, and obviously she didn't win. So I don't really believe John Lewis's endorsement all of a sudden got Joe Biden the nomination. I would not be a bit surprised if votes were manipulated in the Democrat primaries, just like they were in this past election. Scorecard now is being activated potentially to steal the vote on behalf of Joe Biden. Votes are being stolen to make him the president of the United States, specifically votes in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, Arizona. They steal votes by tampering with the computers at the transfer points between state election computer systems and outside third parties, and we'll talk a little bit about that. They have an algorithm that Montgomery created to create or achieve the desired results by those that control these software programs. They tested their technology during the Democrat primary, as I mentioned. Otherwise, Bernie would probably have been the nominee and would have been a better nominee and certainly more appealing than Joe Biden was. Obama White House had an encrypted VPN in the White House in order to access this software at will. And Robert Mueller's FBI supplied the computers for this. So it all kind of ties together, all the people that were involved. And you think of these people involved in Spygate, separate issue, but the names are the same. You've got Mueller and Brennan and Comey and Clapper and the Obama White House. An important quote that really summarizes this past election from Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, who famously stated, "It's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes." And that's what we're seeing now. It really doesn't matter who is casting votes this election, but who is counting them. And that's where things get interesting. Michigan joined the other battleground states in halting their counts early Wednesday morning. And there was concern because Michigan's Trump vote stayed exactly the same at about 2.2 million, while Biden's vote somehow increased by 138,000. So how does that happen? How does Trump's vote stay exactly the same and all of a sudden Biden increases by 130 plus thousand? That's statistically impossible. It really cannot happen that way, that there were no votes for Trump. If you remember, there were a bunch of precincts in Philadelphia in 2016 that voted exclusively for, not, I'm sorry, 2012, that voted exclusively for Barack Obama and none for Mitt Romney. Another statistical impossibility, yet Mitt Romney doesn't seem interested in getting to the bottom of any electoral chicanery that may have affected his election or lack of. There was also video of what appeared to be illegal ballots being wheeled into the Detroit Vote Count Center in the dead of night. You may have seen those videos. Obviously, YouTube is censoring it. If you put those videos on Twitter, you'll get yourself suspended or banned. I tweeted a few things like that and found myself suspended for 12 hours, but I'm back in Twitter's good graces. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is at Retinal Doctor, R-E-T-I-N-A-L, Doctor. I also have a Facebook page, LinkedIn page, where I post things of interest. Nate Silver, the statistical guru, the election prognosticator, his election night tweet said, two more batches of Pennsylvania votes reported, 23,277 votes in Philadelphia, all for Biden. So how does that happen, especially coming from a well-regarded statistician who knows darn well that the words he typed were impossible? How could it be that all the votes were for Biden, none for Trump, unless someone was cheating big time? Does anyone really believe that more votes were cast for Sleepy Joe than history-making darling Barack Obama? If you look at this election compared to past elections, Joe Biden outperformed Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in almost the entire country. Hillary wasn't a particularly enthusiastic candidate, but she was certainly a lot more coherent than Joe Biden. Obama was very charismatic. You may not agree with him, but he gave a good speech. He was young, he was hip, he was popular, he drew the crowds out. To say that Joe Biden is more popular than the both of them, I really don't believe it. There were plus 40% red counties flipped to blue, plus 40% in this cycle. In other words, counties that were won by the Republican by a 40-point margin in the past, all of a sudden were won by Joe Biden, especially in Pennsylvania. Joe Biden came out against fracking. Fracking's a very important industry in Pennsylvania. Key counties, the down ticket candidates consistently receive 20% less votes than Biden. So you look at the ballot, the presidential election is on top. And virtually everybody votes for president. It's further down the ballot that the votes drop off. And there's a drop off rate of maybe 10% when you go from the top of the ticket to the next, which is the Senate and then the House. So most people know who their senator is and will vote. Some don't know who their House candidate is, so there'll be a little bit of drop off. But what we're seeing is lots and lots of votes, especially the ones that came in at the last minute, only marked the president. They didn't mark anything downstream of that. Senate, House, local races, state House, state Senate, state legislature, judges, ballot referendums, nothing. To me, it seems like they were in an awfully big hurry to get a bunch of ballots filled in. Perhaps they didn't anticipate how well Trump would be doing on election night. Maybe they had enough ballots to manage their expectations based on the polls, which of course were wrong. But when Trump was winning by a bigger margin than expected, they had to scramble and in the wee hours of the night create ballots. It's a whole lot easier to just check off the presidential race than any of the others. And it seems that's what they did. So while the nation was watching and sleeping, corrupt Philly and Atlanta and Detroit political machines acted to stop the nation from watching as well. All three have either denied GOP count observers entry or restricted them to stations too far away to really count or observe anything. Using COVID and distancing rules, instead of saying you have to be 6 feet away, they had observers 30 feet away. How can you watch and see what's going on? You might as well not have them there at all. Some defied judges' orders in terms of counting and how late they could count and which ballots they could count. In other words, ballots coming in after Election Day. They even papered over windows. They did that in Detroit, so nobody could look in and see what they were doing. So if you want a free and fair election, and if this is all on the up and up, why are they papering over windows? What don't they want people to see? But they did. Were they counting ballots or were they rigging an election? So it's quite ironic that the party so baselessly obsessed with Trump's supposed collusion with Putin and Russia to steal the 2016 election would employ the same tactics of another Russian dictator to steal this one. In other words, it's not who votes, it's who count the votes. And it really defies common sense. Look at it another way. The Democrats are losing congressional seats, state office seats, governorships, and yet those same states voted for Biden. The Republicans held the Senate. The Republicans gained, it must be 11 or 12 House seats at latest count, with still up in the air a number of them. And yet the top of the ticket, Biden, won. The Democrat won while Republicans are picking up other seats. It doesn't make sense. It's the top of the ticket that has the coattails, and it's the top of the ticket that brings the House and Senate races along with it. Yet we're seeing the opposite. It defies common sense. It defies history. Also, look, President Trump holds rallies with tens of thousands of people, including in Pennsylvania. Butler, Pennsylvania, he had 57,000 people. You look at a Biden event, maybe a few dozen, all in those big circles. And most of the people there are either security, Secret Service, or media, or campaign staff. How many people were there? So you look at enthusiasm, again, it doesn't make sense. Look at social media. Look at Twitter and the social media following that Trump has versus Biden. Last I looked, Trump has 89 million Twitter followers. Biden has 19 million. Is that enthusiasm? That's almost five times as much social media presence. If there was such enthusiasm for Joe Biden, why aren't all these people following him on Twitter? And the significant percentage of Twitter users are Democrats, especially the more active ones. He should have more followers if he's such a great guy and everybody's so enthused. So it really calls into question, did Biden really get more votes than Trump, or is this the vote counting? And it looks like well over 70 million people are on the precipice of having their votes disenfranchised by Democrats in their coordinated effort to steal this election. Upon exiting the Constitutional Convention in 1787, Benjamin Franklin was approached by a group of citizens asking what sort of government the delegates had created. His answer was, quote, a republic, if you can keep it. Well, that's what we're facing now. If elections are not sacred, if the right to vote, the right to free and fair elections is not sacred, then how are we any different than Venezuela, Cuba, et cetera? And those countries figure into voting machines, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Judge Alito issued an opinion, and he wanted the vote separated for a reason. This was a Philadelphia decision. He wanted them separated after 8 p.m. on election night because those shouldn't be counted. Those were to be kept separate. Biden's going to lose in the Supreme Court. They know it. So what did they do? They commingled the ballots, and now there's no way to know which ballots came in when. So that's in defiance of the Supreme Court. Four justices on the U.S. Supreme Court already said the Pennsylvania Supreme Court cannot adjust voting rules. Number one, that's not the court's job to do that. Election rules are up to the state legislature, and the Supreme Court can't just arbitrarily change rules. And new arrival Justice Amy Coney Barrett will probably be the fifth vote there. So we'll see what she does and whether this gets to the Supreme Court. So let's look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's up by about 20,000 votes for Joe. And lots of stories up there about how there are way more Wisconsin votes than there are registered voters. And that impacts Colorado, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Maybe the dead can vote up there. Joe Frazier, famous boxer, died 5 years ago. Apparently he voted in this election. Michigan's the land of glitches. There was a glitch in Michigan where 6,000 votes for Trump were given to Biden in one of the 47 counties that use this particular voting software. So how many other counties? It's almost 50 counties and 6,000 votes. That's 300,000 votes, and that's the election to Donald Trump. Does the media decide the elections? No. It should be decided by the people. Yet here we have the media telling us, coronating Joe Biden as the winner. And if you disagree, you're going to be censored. You're going to have your account suspended. You'll be shut down. So what happens now? On December 14th, the electors chosen by their state legislatures cast their votes. No one but the state legislators have that right. So it's not up to CNN. It's not Chris Wallace's decision of how the Electoral College votes. It's not the Supreme Court or any court. It's the state legislators, not the governors. And that's who ultimately decides this election, if they can. On Saturday, Rudy Giuliani conducted a press conference in Philadelphia in which he brought forward some of the 50 Republican poll watchers who will testify in federal court that their civil rights have been violated because they were deprived of the right to observe the counting of absentee ballots, which turned the tide. These are the votes that came in after midnight. So look what they've uncovered, that Biden outperforms senators in swing states, but underperforms them in other states. He underperformed Hillary and Obama everywhere except Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Wisconsin, the four big states in question. How could that be other than a flood of ballots at the last minute? There were mail-in ballots dumped overnight with 100% margin for Biden. In other words, he won all of them. And as I mentioned, Republicans didn't lose any House races. They kept all their House seats and gained. And that doesn't make sense with the top of the ticket going a different direction. It'd be great if there were simpler ways of documenting the fraud than these. There are a couple claims that have been out there on the internet, not really covered on the news. Really, nothing's covered on the news. I don't know about you guys. I've given up on Fox News. The news has been terrible. Fox has come out really as another CNN, MSNBC. And I haven't watched any cable news since the election. I'm just sick of it. I'm over Fox. They've really done a bad job. But one of these claims is that the Department of Homeland Security printed all the ballots using a secret infrared watermark. You might have seen that circulate on the internet, kind of as a rumor. That way, all the manufactured ballots would be easily detected. Well, Department of Homeland Security debunked this, and it makes sense why, because ballots not only carry the top of the ticket, the presidential election, but they also carry local races, local candidates, initiatives, and they have to be printed and distributed locally. It's not a national ballot. So look at the dates. I mentioned the Electoral College meets December 14th, and once they're settled, Congress has to certify the vote January 6th, and then inauguration is January 20th. So these are the three big dates coming up. What if the states can't sort things out? What if this election is thought irredeemably compromised, meaning no electors, no electoral college majority, it goes to Congress. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution gives the state legislature sole authority to appoint electors to the electoral college. In reality, we are not voting for president. We are casting a preference. So when you and I vote, we're letting our state legislature know our preference of who the president is. But the power to really elect the president goes to the Electoral College, who's appointed by state legislators. So those are the ones that really decide who the president is. If you follow the Constitution, typically it's by vote, and we think we're voting for president, but in reality, we're not. We're voting for a preference. And traditionally, if the state goes for a certain candidate, the legislature appoints those electors, and that's how it works. But what happens if there's overwhelming Democrat vote fraud, say in Michigan? What could the legislature do? They could appoint Trump electors if they believe it was fraudulent and that Trump really won the state. But they have to deem that the election has been irredeemably compromised. And that's tricky. And knowing how elected officials, they're kind of squishy and they're not going to take a hard stand. I'm sure many of them don't want the blowback in any state, Pennsylvania, wherever, of appointing Trump electors. They'd have condemnation from the media, from everywhere. And I don't know if they could withstand that. Typical elected Republicans fold like cheap suits when the pressure's on. You've seen that in Colorado. But all they have to do in a few of these states is say something simple like this. The results of our state's 2020 presidential election have been so irredeemably compromised that we can make no determination as to which candidate won. This makes it impossible to certify any result as correct. We are therefore not able to appoint either candidate's slate of electors to the 2020 Electoral College. Then it goes to the House. And that's a whole nother discussion. But if the Electoral College cannot have a majority for one candidate or the other, it goes to the House of Representatives. And it's not a up and down House vote. It's each state gets one vote. And currently, majority of states are controlled by Republicans, meaning that Donald Trump could win that way. That's happened once in history, and there's no reason why it can't happen again. These are kind of unusual circumstances where the integrity of the election has been called into question. How about some Denver connections to all this? Anybody really surprised at how the Denver election turned out? Cory Gardner, in my opinion, ran a very poor race and kind of reflective of the Colorado Republican Party. They nominate uninspiring candidates who run uninspiring elections and then lose. Look at the folks that have run for governor. It's kind of a pattern. And I think Cory Gardner could have run a harder race, could have fought back, spent a lot of money on television commercials that were really kind of weak, a lot of issues that he ignored. I didn't hear him talk about homelessness and hypodermic needles on the streets of Denver and people pooping on the streets. He didn't talk about Jack Phillips. He didn't talk about Denver being a sanctuary city. There are a lot of things he could have talked about, including Hickenlooper's record, and he ignored it. He didn't talk about the riots and protests and property destruction downtown. His message was, you know, polishing the fender of a Maserati. He didn't explain why Hickenlooper was in Europe and the meeting he was at, just kind of poked fun at the car and talked about his national park legislation. All good stuff, but there's more to an election than that. So anyhow, that's Cory Gardner. My feeling on that is if he deliberately set out to lose the election, I don't think he would have done anything differently. He did exactly what a losing candidate would have done if they wanted to sabotage their own race and lose by double digits, which he did. So what are the other Denver connections with all this? Start with Dominion, who makes these voting machines and software. Their U.S. headquarters are in Denver. That's not relevant, it's just interesting. They're actually a Canadian company. So when you think about it, we have a Canadian company that's counting our votes, and they're doing the counting in Europe, which makes absolutely no sense. There was something interesting in Gateway Pundit tied to Denver. A fellow named Eric Krumer joined this company, Dominion, as a VP for US engineering. He's a nuclear physics graduate from Berkeley, PhD. In other words, a rocket scientist, smart guy. Later promoted to voting systems officer of strategy and security at Dominion. And he's since been removed from the Dominion page of directors, and his social media is being scrubbed. Gateway Pundit published an interview with Denver native Joseph Altman about this fellow Krumer. Altman is a Denver business owner. He's the founder of Faith Education Commerce United. And he talked about how this fellow from Dominion, this Eric Krumer, is a part of Antifa. The Denver guy, Altman, infiltrated Antifa and discovered there was someone who was called Eric from Dominion and was part of a chat during late September 2020 about the election. Altman told the Gateway Pundit that this Eric was telling Antifa members that they needed to keep up the pressure. When one of the callers on that group chat asked, "Who's Eric?" someone answered, "Oh, Eric, he's the Dominion guy, the voting company." As the conversation continued, someone asked, "What are we going to do if effing Trump wins?" And I quote. Altman paraphrased how Eric, the Dominion guy, responded. He said, "Don't worry about the election. Trump's not going to win. I made effing sure of that." Now, mind you, this is in late September, about 6 weeks before the election. Yeah, no kidding they made sure of that. And that's part of the voting fraud, the companies, the software counting the votes. And this Altman fellow, for exposing this and talking about it, got himself removed from Twitter. So if you tweet about such things, you're going to go into Twitter prison and your Twitter account will be canceled. Let's talk a little bit more about Dominion. This is via a Twitter account called Major Patriot and information he got through Sidney Powell, who's General Flynn's lawyer and part of Trump's legal team. There's a Venezuelan term called Smartmatic. It's a subsidiary of Dominion. Interestingly, Smartmatic's chairman is a member of the British House of Lords. That's the club of clubs. That's the hoity-toity in the UK. To be in the House of Lords, you're appointed. And this fellow, Mark Malik Brown, good British name. He's a former vice chairman of guess who? George Soros's investment funds and a former vice president at the World Bank. So he's got deep state written all over him, tattooed on his forehead. And this Smartmatic is a Venezuelan firm. It's also multinational, and they specialize in what's called technology solutions for government. So the money for that company came not only out of Venezuela, but also Cuba for the express purpose of being able to rig elections, secure voting for people like Hugo Chavez and then Maduro in Venezuela. So this is really a major national security issue for the US and hopefully is being investigated by our intelligence agencies if they can take a break from spying on Donald Trump. And this may blow everything wide open. So think about it. Votes cast in the US go to a foreign-owned company to be counted outside the US. What could go wrong with that? So what's next for Trump? Trump has a few options. He can fight this, which he's doing. He can go scorched earth. He can really burn the place down on his way out if he feels there's no chance of him prevailing. He can run in 2024, which I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he does. He may run as a third party candidate, destroying the GOP, which probably wouldn't be a bad thing. Couple other items of interest you might have seen. There's a fellow named John Meacham. He's a historian and presidential biographer, the kind of person CNN and MSNBC loves to have on their shows to pontificate and bloviate. Turns out he was a secret Biden speechwriter, and he's also a paid MSNBC guest. He's on frequently. So welcome to the modern media. So you get an MSNBC paid contributor who writes speeches for Joe Biden. Then he goes on MSNBC to discuss and praise these very speeches. So he writes the speeches, he praises them, but it's all done in secret. So now I want to talk a little bit about an executive order. And this is kind of interesting. This is another scenario of how this may all play out. I find it very intriguing, and I'll try to go through it. Hat tip to Mike Adams of Natural News, who wrote about it and really explained it well, and I would read his writing if you want to get into detail. This story begins with a little-known executive order signed by Donald Trump, September 12, 2018. It's on the whitehouse.gov website. It's called Executive Order on Imposing Certain Sanctions in the Event of Foreign Interference in a U.S. Election. Well, guess what we had? This is a very apropos executive order signed over 2 years ago, which makes me wonder, did Donald Trump know what was coming? I mean, he has hinted at electoral fraud, mail-in ballots, all these things that are happening now. He tweeted and talked about it in interviews and at rallies long before the election. I really can't see that he was caught flat-footed on this. He might have been, but I doubt it. Everything they've thrown at Trump has failed. You think back to Access Hollywood tape, Stormy Daniels, Avenatti, Russian collusion, Operation Crossfire Hurricane, Mueller's investigation, the Ukraine phone call, impeachment, all the tell-all books by Omarosa and Bolton and Scaramucci. Everything they've thrown at Trump has failed. If you remember the old Superman show with they'd fire bullets at him and the bullets would just bounce off him. Not the Superman movies. George Reeves, I think, was the Superman character. It was a fun show I watched as a kid. So in this executive order, which really no one has covered, the media is not going to talk about it, President Trump declares a national emergency that's still in effect today. And the 2020 election was conducted under the state of emergency, which is very important if you look at what may be coming next. Quote, unauthorized accessing of election infrastructure. That's very important. Part of the executive order, Trump also states that people and organizations located outside the U.S. are known to be able to, quote, interfere in or undermine public confidence in U.S. elections, including through the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure or, and this is important, covert distribution of propaganda and disinformation. So think about who's been distributing propaganda and disinformation. You can start with Chris Wallace and the Fox News gang on election night. You can go to the social media companies. They're censoring anything that's contrary to what they want disseminated. People are being banned or censored on Twitter, on Facebook. They're being deplatformed. Conservative Treehouse, which is a good conservative website that gets into the weeds on a lot of this issues, just announced that they've been deplatformed. WordPress, which is the web hosting app that they use, has said, yeah, basically, we don't like you. We don't agree with your views. Goodbye. You've got till December to find a new home to host your website. So if you're starting to see how this ties to CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, Fox News, et cetera, you're not alone. These organizations have been caught under this emergency declaration of, quote, foreign interference in U.S. elections, aided by complicit corporations on U.S. soil. The executive order further states that this foreign interference in U.S. elections constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the U.S. So if you're conspiring with a foreign government to upset, overthrow, damage the U.S. government, that's called treason. So that's interesting stuff. And this may go in that direction. We'll have to see. Why is this relevant now with the election fraud carried out by the Dems and deep state? Because Dominion Voting Systems, as I talked about a few minutes ago, is a Canadian company. And Skittle, which is another company, is run out of Spain. So you've got two foreign companies. So here's your foreign interference, not to mention what China and other countries are doing and funding. So Dominion's a foreign-owned company, which makes Dominion-based election theft a foreign interference issue, which amazingly, the US media is not interested in. Where's Adam Schiff? Where's Nadler? They were consumed by supposed Russian collusion, which no one was able to prove. Mueller investigated that for 2 years, spent $40 million, had a team of Democrat partisans investigating. They found no evidence of Russian collusion. But here we have a couple of foreign companies involved in processing and counting votes in a US election. And Adam Schiff is suddenly very uninterested. CNN's uninterested, MSNBC's uninterested, Denver Post is uninterested. Everything is just move along. We don't want to talk about this. This company, Skittle, is connected to George Soros and the Democrats, as I mentioned earlier. Guess who else owns stock in Skittle? Bill Gates. It's interesting. Bill Gates always, his name always appears in these things, whether it's elections, vaccines, viruses. Bill Gates is there. And if Bill Gates is there, who knows, maybe Anthony Fauci owns stock in this company as well. That I don't know, but Bill Gates does. So Dominion's Canadian, Skittles from Spain, both represent foreign interference in U.S. elections with data routed through servers in Germany. We'll talk about that in a little bit. another voting machine company. This is called Skittle. As I said, they're located in Spain, foreign interference. And this is a bankrupted company. And they have a long history of election fraud in many nations. What do? They put backdoors in their election software. And that way people can get in and manipulate the vote. Back to Stalin. Doesn't matter who's voting, it matters who's counting the votes. And if you have software that says, for every vote that comes in for Trump, we're going to take half a vote and give it to Joe Biden, or two votes for Trump, three for Biden, however, they can program it any way they want. So the issue has prompted experts to question why the sensitive job of counting votes was outsourced to a foreign company. Why would that happen? Why, you know, the U.S., we're not an incapable country. We're not a, you know, maybe a small country like Luxembourg, for example, might outsource it, but I bet they don't. But why would any country outsource their vote counting to a foreign company? What's amazing is that every country in the world can have an election, presidential election, or the equivalent for their leader, and they have the results soon as the polls close. In the UK, when they have elections, the prime minister moves into number 10 Downing Street the next morning. So it's decided, it's settled. So here we are 2 weeks out and we haven't decided because we're outsourcing it and everybody does it differently. Every state has their own rules and everybody's involved. I mean, you couldn't design a more chaotic and dysfunctional system, but that's what we have. So what's missing in all this is that Trump's 2018 executive order gives the DOJ the power to seize all assets of individuals and companies that were complicit in aiding or covering up this foreign interference in U.S. elections. Very interesting. Seize all assets. How might that play out? National emergency order specifically calls for seizures of any and all assets that have been directly of entities that have been directly or indirectly engaged in sponsored, concealed, or otherwise complicit in foreign interference in the U.S. election. Well, that's a very big tent. Who all's been complicit in this? All the journalist anchors, the election desks, newspapers, big tech companies, their CEOs. It's really the entire media, print, television, digital, social, all these media organizations that are complicit in gaslighting America and covering up this massive foreign election interference that just took place. What if their assets could be seized? Trump executive order explains that asset seizures shall target people and entities which have materially assisted, sponsored, or provided financial, material, or technological support in these areas. In other words, this covers everyone who's been corrupted or compromised by communist China. And that includes many Democrat lawmakers, probably some Republicans in fairness as well. Think of Senators Feinstein, Schiff, that have been compromised by the Chinese. I would be surprised if people like Mitt Romney have, some other Republicans. Their tentacles run deep. But that's all foreign interference. Every organization involved in election theft and cover-up can now be seized by the U.S. government. So I don't know if this will happen, but, you know, amazing if the Department of Justice could seize Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, major networks. But that's what the executive order says. So we'll see what happens with that. But any media organization that assisted in covering up this interference is targeted. It also goes on to talk about election infrastructure, which means information and communications technology and systems used in these elections. And that's all these voter systems. And you think about who owns stock in these systems, who's calling the shots. If they indeed got servers from Germany, as has been reported, we may find out who was ordering this, because there will be a trail of emails and other things directing what's done and how the votes are shifted and counted. So that includes Dominion voting systems and any other systems involved, which all appear to be foreign entities, meaning foreign interference. It also covers altering the result or reported results of the election or undermining public confidence in the election processes or institutions. That's words from the executive order. So that puts a lot of people in potential hot water, including all the media organizations that, like Fox, that wouldn't call Florida when it was obvious Trump had won Florida and quickly called Arizona. And that seemed to be the signal to the other states that, hey, we got to stop counting the votes. It's not looking good for our guy. And they put a hold on everything. It's like calling a six-hour timeout in the football game. You're losing, and you call a big timeout to let all your players rest and then go back to the game. You can't do that. And then they come back and the score has changed. So how does the score change if nobody's playing? And that's exactly what happened. So this is what big tech and the fake news media have done. And it's more than just a crime, it's treason. If you're colluding with a foreign entity and the goal is to overthrow a duly elected government, that falls into treason. And these folks may have fell right into this national emergency trap that Trump announced via executive order in 2018. And we'll see how that plays out. Sidney Powell, one of Trump's attorneys, describes, quote, staggering statistical evidence, staggering witness testimony about the criminal election fraud that was carried out across America. So hopefully that's being presented in courts. I know a lot of people want to see the evidence. Well, if you're preparing a legal case, you don't show all your cards. That has to follow a process and go to judge, grand jury, etc. It was a recent video interview with Texas Representative Louie Gohmert over the weekend. Talked about U.S. military conducting a raid on the server farm in Barcelona, Spain, of this bankrupt company, Skittle, one of the election ballot companies. Gateway Pundit reached out to its sources to confirm it and confirmed it. They said the U.S. government, once they determined that Dominion server was involved in switching votes, then the intelligence community began a search for the server, discovered that the server was in Germany, not in Barcelona. In order to get access and have it available for use in a legal manner, they had to have the State Department work with the Department of Justice and request that the government of Germany cooperate in allowing seizure of the server. Appropriate documents to effect this kind of seizure were put into place, signed off on, and there was likely U.S. military support in this operation as well. Not in the lead, but as in a supportive role. Guess who was fired as Secretary of Defense? Esper. He was booted out shortly before this happened. Maybe he was resisting. That might have been one of the reasons he was asked to resign instead of being fired. New people put in Department of Justice, Kash Patel, Ezra Cohen Watnick. So it's new people involved so that the military would not interfere with this operation. And Trump got his people in there to make sure they got the evidence, get the server and get the evidence. Now they're going to have direct evidence of when they were instructed to stop counting votes and discover who gave the direction and who initiated the algorithm that started switching votes. So this is kind of the smoking gun. If you have the server, somebody had to put in commands and order the thing to rig the votes, count the votes differently, change votes, etc. And we have confirmation from WikiLeaks document that the CIA was used the data center in Frankfurt as a remote hacking base to rig U.S. elections. So it's interesting the CIA was involved in this as well, which is why they were kept out of this mission. Apparently, there's a top secret CIA unit in Frankfurt, which does hacking attacks on Europe, China, and the Middle East. And that's fair game. Countries hack each other all the time. That's kind of the information warfare. But if it's being used against its own country, that's a very bad thing. So there was a building there, which was raided, and it had a vast network of intelligence personnel, CIA, NSA, military secret personnel, Homeland Security, Secret Service, etc. And this is, again, reminiscent of Spygate, where the U.S. intelligence agencies were used to spy on President Trump. And that's a very bad thing. Let's take a quick pause. We have caller Barney. Sorry, I wasn't looking at the chat. We want to put Barney on line too, if Barney's still there.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I've just been talking away. Sorry.
Hey, that's okay. So I had faith after you were on with Chuck and Julie right after the election, because you came on and said, hey, he's a fighter, yada, yada, yada. Got a little discouraged because I can't stand Rudy Giuliani. He's a really poor spokesman for Trump. It really needs to toss him. But after Sidney Powell joined, then I have a little more faith. And this morning I have a lot more faith. And I did not know some of the stuff you're laying out now with the server and that. So I'm already feeling pretty good about this. The only thing that I'm worried about is the Trump team is going to have to go through some pompous jackasses in black robes in the lower courts. And I'm not even so sure that, I don't know, can the Chief Justice refuse the case? Is it a vote, like when one of these cases ends up at the Supreme Court? Is he the final word? Can he tell them to kiss off? Or how does that work?
Well, my understanding, and if there are any experts in constitutional law that want to weigh in, each justice is responsible for issues that arise in particular states. And Justice Alito is responsible for Pennsylvania. That includes his jurisdiction. And he's already signaled his displeasure at how Pennsylvania was handling it. So I suspect if it's brought to them, he will take the case.
I hope so. I have a lot of faith in Alito. Alito and Thomas are my favorites. But I do have a lot of faith in those two. So sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
It's your real job poking people's eyeballs out. You know that, right? Just saying, making a lot more money probably too. I don't know.
Yeah, this is more fun though. This is can't talk politics too much in the office. I get in trouble. Go ahead.
You're a smart dude, and I like you. But I don't know what that's worth. I'll make you look bad because I might be the worst caller Chuck and Julie out. But glad you got to fill in. So. But you told us, have faith, Trump is a fighter, so I'm going to go on that and beat you up if he doesn't fight. So you said it.
Well, we'll see. I don't have any inside information, so I'm I'll box on here in the last few minutes. But in the last few minutes, I want to talk about just kind of sum up this theory of irrefutable evidence of criminal collusion to carry out election interference and how that leads to big tech in collusion with China and perhaps other countries, the news media, social and otherwise. And in one fell swoop, the president can potentially, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is a theory based on the executive order. The executive order is real, the wording in it's real, whether it's enforced and carried out to the letter of the order, who knows? They can arrest and seize the assets of all the top Democrats and deep state traders who attempted to steal the election, seize the big tech corporations and propaganda outlets that were complicit. They can take their domain names, such as Twitter.com, YouTube.com. And this would really defeat the DNC forever. This would put a nail in the coffin of the Democrat Party. We could have widespread election reform, national voter ID system for future elections, and of course, Trump getting a second term. So I would not bet against Trump. Trump has come out ahead on virtually everything. He knew this was coming. It's not like him to give up. It's not like him to concede and just throw in the towel. And the problem is, what would happen to him if he did do that? That's where, they're going to go after Trump in the big way. I did hint at something about Colorado. I wanted to mention it because we're in Colorado. The conservative group Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit against the Colorado Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, over claims that Colorado has more voters than it has people. But according to their attorneys, the suit lacks merit, and Denver Post and Nine News will agree with all that, that this is all conspiracy theory. But it was filed in this U.S. District Court on Monday, and it attempts to force Colorado to clean up its voter rolls, according to a Judicial Watch statement. And this is the premise. 2019 study showed that 40 of Colorado's 64 counties had voter registration rates exceeding 100% of the eligible citizen voting age population. So how can that be? You have more voters than people. Guess where we heard that? That was in Wisconsin as well, where you had voter turnout of 90-95%, which is statistically impossible based on history, or you had some districts where there were more votes cast than there were people that could vote. The share of Colorado counties with registration rates exceeding 100% was the highest in the nation. Wow, who'd have thunk it? Colorado's just considered now a blue state, and that's that. But it's interesting about what's happening here with votes. And all these things seem to happen in states that have Secretary of States that were funded in their campaigns by George Soros or one of his organizations. That's an interesting correlation. Study from last month confirmed that as many as 39 Colorado counties had a registration rate exceeding 100% at any one time during the relevant reporting period. So something stinks in Colorado as well. It's not only Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia. In 8 Colorado counties, more than 1 in 6 registrations belong to an inactive voter. So that doesn't bode well for Colorado. Lastly, what's next for Fox News that wouldn't declare Florida but quickly declared Arizona? Fox was a conservative alternative to the mainstream media, but they just gave a big finger to their base. There's Newsmax, there's OAN, and Tucker Carlson gave a tweet because I don't know what the term is, on Parler, which is an alternative to Twitter. It says, it's become clear that the network I have called home has become just another corporate media outlet. Its news desk, along with the stagnant GOP, has failed miserably to protect the values of MAGA and Trump and our modern conservative movement. Stay tuned during the upcoming months for a series of blockbuster announcements involving my primetime colleagues and me and the Trump family that will permanently alter the political and media landscape. Don't ask me to say more. Believe me, it'll be worth the wait. So very interesting. I'm going to throw out one possibility. CNN is for sale. AT&T wants to dump it because it's been hemorrhaging money. Jeff Bezos of the Washington Post turned it down. My fantasy, how about this? What if Trump purchases CNN, puts his family in charge, creates a new network, make news great again? He can get rid of all the hacks at CNN, fire them all, bring over the handful of good talent from Fox and elsewhere, create a new network. Even if he ultimately doesn't get reelected, just seeing that would be great. Fox will be over. They will become another CNN. And we'll have a new news network. Because right now, there's very few places where we can get fair and balanced news. It's being left to talk radio and shows like this where we can get some differing opinions out there under the radar of censorship that's taking over in big media and everywhere else. So we're about done here. I'm going to wrap it up. I want to thank Chuck and Julie for the opportunity. It's always good fun. Thank you all for listening and being part of this show. And I hope to see you again sometime in the future as a guest or guest host. Thanks very much. Have a good rest of the day. Bye-bye.